Ball and Play 2, presented by DraftKings, is underway. Head over to our Warehouse Games channel to see all the action from Ball and Play. Get some skin in the game and download the DraftKings app right now. Don't forget to use our promo code Warehouse. That's promo code Warehouse only at DraftKings Sportsbook. The crown is yours.
Today is Monday, January 28th, and we have some things to talk about. We got lineup predictions. We put a poll out there. We got over almost 500 responses, so we're going to break down all the possible lineups and all that stuff. We got a Patreon contest. We got to give the winner out, and we got some sneaky little updates and some voicemails. Let's talk Yanks.
Talking Yanks with old John Boy and Jake. Recaps galore, weekly awards, stat lines, steaming hot takes. Your Yankees news with these two fine dudes. It's time for Talking Yanks. Talking Yanks with old John Boy. John Boy and Jake. Talking Yanks with old John Boy. John Boy and Jake.
What's up, everybody? Thank you for joining us for this episode of Talking Yanks. My name's John Boy, and I got my co-host Jake with me. I'm in New Jersey. He's in Denver. It is our 200th episode of Talking Yanks, and to celebrate this occasion, we're going to have Jake do his very famous R2-D2 getting shot impression. Jake, hit him with it. And there we go. 200th episode kicks off with the bang. How you
Let
doing?
Let me know
bud?
How the audio is on that. I didn't know we were doing that.
the Patreon chat knew. I typed in. I said about to put Jake on the spot for the 200th ep. So whoever's watching live, they were in on it. They were waiting. They're going to be shocked that it wasn't planned.
Well, no. It's funny. That impression is a. The less you think, the better it is, just because that's a scream.
Just a scream.
When I first fell in love with that impression, it was a bunch of drunk idiots on the beach at a bachelor party, and just every 5 minutes you heard an intermittent R2-D2 getting shot, which is funny enough, Jim. I actually watched that this weekend, so talk about full circle shit.
You prepped and you didn't even realize you were prepping.
200 ep curse word.
Whew.
Was that my first one?
Curse word? No. No, you were born a curse word.
It's going to be a good app.
Okay. All right. Well, this good app, this is self-proclaimed good app.
Sorry about
Jake.
The other 199, but this. Woo!
The other 199 in comparison to this. Well, it's good because this app is brought to you by a bunch of terribly great people. Can you use terribly in that sense? I don't know.
Yeah.
I think back in the 1920s, you for sure can. Nate C. Guess on the last name. Give me a guess on the last name, Jake. It starts with a C. That's
Nate
all we
Charleston.
Mean. Charleston. Okay. Kevin Waldron. Max Sleepion.
Oh.
Max Sleepion. Christopher Ariano? Arilano? I don't know. I'm sorry. And Two-Ton Fish. Admitted his real name. Went with Two-Ton Fish, which I think he's on Twitter. Two-Ton Fish. Two-Tone Fish? Maybe his name is Tone?
Two-Tone Fish.
Anyway, those are our most recent Patreon subscribers and supporters.
I think you're missing one really important one.
And Jake Story Ellie. Yeah, I forgot about that.
For the 200th episode, I subscribed to Patreon because we've been doing these fun Patreon contests, and I've been driving myself up a wall to try to get in there and get some access. And you know what? I said today's the day. $2 a month to listen to myself talk Yanks? All in.
You're going to start entering the contest now.
Yeah, I'm going to start cleaning up on those. I know the guys.
Jake was trying to get into Talking Yanks Patreon today. I was like, log in with my account so you don't have to pay and you can see everything. He's like, okay, the email to verify it was just sent to the Talking Yanks email. I'm like, okay. So I click it. I verify it. He goes, he needs to click the actual link, so to forward it to him. So I forward him the email. At that point, he clicks the link, and it says, this verification link has expired.
Yeah,
I got
it was, every person has their own tipping point where I will give $2 a month. Patreon can take whatever their cut is, But I was done doing the song and dance, and I hope you guys join us on Patreon, because I think we're going to start adding some more stuff, Jim. I think someone mentioned a fantasy baseball league the other day, but we're going to be ramping up the Patreon. So if you guys could, check us out on there. $2 a month, and you can win 2 jerseys a month.
Yeah, I thought you were going to come in a little bit like still angry over the situation, because I got the text that said, from you, very much at a kill myself level on this topic. I'm subscribing and it's done.
Well, dude, I've done this like 3 times now, because it's been between 2 different accounts and 2 different computers. So I was just done. And in other news, I think the R2-D2 noise helped my current level. Seeing the poll percentages, which we're going to talk about in a little bit, helped. And someone just gave me a really nasty look for letting out that R2-D2 scream, because I'm in a public area.
What'd they do? Are they in another room? Or are they in the same room as you?
Yeah, so there's I'm in a little office area you can rent out. And on the other side of the wall, there's like some computers, like classic print stuff out computers. Like the only reason you'd be using those was to be using the printer. Mm-hmm. And a guy came over, looked in here and was like, okay, saw the microphone and was like, do I want to inquire at all? He's like, no, definitely not.
Yeah, I feel like in like the early 2000s, every hotel was like, shit, we need a print stuff out area. And then they just like renovated a broom closet and stuck one computer on a desk in there with one chair.
Hey, if every person in America could have a print stuff out room, I think they would.
Yeah, most,
because those 2 times a year, it's like crushing when you can't.
Yes, I agree. All right, Jake, talk for 2 seconds.
Talk to me. How's everyone doing? I know I've been coming in hot. Before this episode, a little behind the scenes, Jimmy and I were talking and we were like, what do we do for this episode? Like, we're coming up on spring training, so we don't want to hit on the spring training stuff. What are we going to do? And just kind of haphazardly throwing out ideas. I was like, we could do some like lineup stuff. Like, we're kind of at that point, barring the giant Machado type move or something, which you can't. You can't bank on or even think about at this point. Like, if it happens, awesome, cool, but we have to move on. Like, the season's coming. And then we started lining up episodes, and we're like, yeah, we're going to have a couple guests on, and then spring training will be here. So we're like, yeah, we'll do a little lineup poll thing, and the results are actually a lot of fun, so I'm excited to do that. Got the R2-D2 noise out hot. 200th episode? Like, this is going to be... this is going to be good. Oh, and we're doing Sterling. No, what actually turned around my mood, Jim? The Sterling home run calls from our Patreon subscribers, because they're actually incredible.
Yeah, there's a lot that I really like. Let's do that. Or let's do some news, because the news isn't worth talking about. And the Sterling calls, and then the lineup, we can talk forever because it's so interesting. And a lot of the responses I got, I posted on Reddit. I posted on a bunch of Facebook Yankee pages because we only had 4 hours. I wanted to get as many results as we can. Some of the responses were just like, whoa, this is hard when you actually try to do it. And it is. And we're going to go over that.
Yeah, it really is.
All right. So let's do our Sterling home run calls. This was a contest we held on Patreon. So someone's about to win a free...
I thought you were just going to do news. I thought...
Yeah, I did. Jeez. Lied to myself there. The news. Pivot. The first little tidbit is that Mariano Rivera said he's going to start working with the Yankees. He said, I'm going to start working with the New York Yankees and teaching pitching. So many guys throw hard but don't have command. We need to teach these boys to pitch. Pitchers are getting away from pitching and are focused on throwing hard. What was your reaction when you heard that?
Well, A, the quote is incredible.
Yeah.
I'm going to teach them pitching.
Yeah.
So, just sign up.
Not like I'm going to work with them or, you know, help out. Like, no, I'm going to teach them pitching.
Yeah, no, it wasn't control-based. It's not pitch-based. I'm going to teach them pitching. And, Jim, you got me good, because it is one of those things you take a step back and, like, the reason Mariano was so special was because he had one pitch.
I don't, like, listen, I love Mariano. And I don't want this to be rude, because I saw so many people excited about this. There's nothing Mariano can teach anyone. You know, like Wayne Gretzky tried to become a hockey coach? Yes, he can teach you one thing. Remember Wayne Gretzky tried to become a hockey coach, and he was like, why don't you guys just fucking go be great?
Yeah.
And everyone's like, no, dude, like, that's what you did. We actually need to, like, focus and practice and stuff. Like, Mariano threw one pitch, dude.
Yeah. And he's, like, a freak. Like, one of the cool Mariano stories that leaked out, and I know we already kind of did Mariano stories, but someone said that in his last season at age 43, they were down to, like, 70 people in camp, and Mariano had the highest vertical leap. So, like, okay, dude, so you're a freak, and you have one pitch that was the most dominant pitch of all time. So, yeah, like, passing along that knowledge, I mean, it's awesome, and, like, if you're a pitcher that has a cutter, this is your wet dream.
He like, did teach. He taught, like, Roy Halladay the cutter. He taught David Robertson the cutter. He can teach people the cutter. No one can really throw it exactly how he threw it. But, yeah, kind of laughed. Like, the greatest of all time who threw one pitch that wasn't a hard pitch. Like, Mariano never had to really work the count.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hey, Mo, when you got a 1-2 pitch and he's fouled off three in a row, like, you want to get him to change, what are you thinking throw? I'd throw the cutter in that situation, I think.
Mo, when's the best time to sneak a curveball in there? Oh, never.
Keep going with the cutters.
Just keep the cutter going.
So pitching 101 from Mariano Rivera should be very interesting.
But no, it is cool, and this was the thing
it's awesome.
We talked about with Robertson that it'll be interesting to see where he ends up at the end of things. But, like, we have this Yankees community of guys that come in afterwards. And, I mean, yeah, just picture being a kid that shows up at Yankee spring training. And, oh, there's the only unanimous Hall of Famer ever.
Yeah, that's cool. All right, the other little tidbit of news that leaked out was that J.A. Happ, he turned down a guaranteed third year from the Reds to take the Yankees' two-year deal with a third-year option. He is making more money per year with the Yankees. He is in New York City and not Cincinnati, and he is on a team that can win the World Series besides a team that might be surprisingly good. So it makes a lot of sense, but you want to give him kudos for he could have got a guaranteed. He turned down some guaranteed money to be on a contender. It's not his first time hitting the market, so it makes sense. Not much else to say in it.
Yeah, I mean, if you want to play the betting on yourself card, I guess you could go there. I mean, for the amount of money we're splitting up at this point, he's already made $55 million. He would have sacrificed a couple. He might not sacrifice a couple if the Yankees do pick up that third year, or it's a vesting option. So I mean there's a little bit of a betting on yourself factor, but I don't know, for someone going into their age 36 season, this is the end of the line, you know. I appreciate Cincinnati going out and getting some guys this offseason. It's nice to see, but I mean, you know, okay, so the next day the Cubs sign Bryce Harper and you're basically into oblivion for the rest of your career. You're goodbye, J-Hap.
Well, if J-Hap took this deal, right, if he took this deal for the Reds, I would guess the Reds then wouldn't be in on Sonny Gray, and then the Yankees would not have Hap and not get the return that they wanted for Gray. Maybe. Could have been.
Maybe. They've made a lot of moves. I will say another thing I'll name drop here, and this is a little talk in NBA. There's a player, George Hill, that I'm not a huge fan of. You'd know George Hill, maybe. He's got really pretty eyes.
Sure, George Hill.
He's got pretty eyes.
Thanks, man.
But he's this guy, and me and my buddies have had some big arguments about him. He was on the Pacers teams that made some noise in the East back in the day. He signed a big free agent contract with Sacramento, and I was like, dude, this guy, man, like, he took the big money on a terrible team, like, just when he had the chance to help a contender as, like, a really good fifth, sixth player on a team. And then he got traded that year to Cleveland when they were still contending. And I was like, wow, George Hill might be a genius. He got the most money. He knew the Kings were going to suck. So then he got traded to a contender. It was actually brilliant. So Happer might have missed out there.
Wow, Happ's dumb as hell. A quote said by Jake Storielli.
Glad he's on the Yankees. 7-0, 2.69 ERA, 11 starts, people. Catch the net.
catch the net. You like the Mariano quote. I love this quote from Adam Ottavino. Adam Ottavino says he's working on a new pitch, but he's not sure if it's game ready just yet.
Me either.
Reminding me of Charlie Sheen from Major League. This is my eliminator. What are you talking about, Ottavino? Okay. He also said he's excited to pitch closer to sea level now, where his two-seam and cutter should have better movement. We all know the wicked breaks his slider can have. I think this was our buddy being so rude. Nope, being Coley Murphy, I think.
Coley Harvey.
That was so rude of me. Sorry, yeah. Coley. I think that was his tweet. But anyway, working on a new pitch. LOL. I don't know why I said that.
Yeah, I mean, that's like any pitcher can say that at any day that they're like messing with the grip and they're working on a new pitch.
Yeah.
But yeah, the sea level stuff's half true. I don't know, dude. Pitch well.
Our February, 13th episode is going to be all spring training cliches. And we're going to need a lot of help from you guys to come up.
I just thought of one, and it's going to – I want to say it because you know I have a bad brain.
Yeah,
but
bad brain.
It's going to be something around DJ LeMahieu and Troy Tulowitzki's, like, friendship. Or I need – because I know that's going to be a topic, obviously, Rockies East. But with some of the shortstop results that came in, a little teaser for the people there, I think we need to talk about that storyline. That'll definitely be a storyline bingo.
Okay. So that's all the news. There it is.
That's all the news.
Let's go into our John Sterling contest right here.
Yes.
I threw one, two. We had like 30-something, so thank you to everyone that that entered something. Because it was fun. But I threw down 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. I threw 7 down in my sheet that I liked, that I thought were worthy of mentioning. 2 made me audibly react, like I made a noise while reading them alone in a room by myself. I have a winner, but I was telling you beforehand, my favorite, if I was to take my favorite from the results, it would be a combination of 2.
Right.
So we can get there. But first I wanted to give out, this is a, what's it called when, not a participation, it's like a consolation, whatever.
Okay, consolation prize?
Yeah, Connor Leone just had LeMahieu hits it out of view.
Yeah.
And I thought, that works. I could see that happening.
And dude, that's where this game gets so funny because Sterling can play it safe or go so off the wall that you could read any of these in his voice.
Honorable mentions. Justice in the chat just typed honorable mentions, which is what I was talking about, not a consolation. Yeah. But yeah, same.
And just a reminder to the people, I think we had about 30 entries here. And again, that's just being on Patreon and someone's about to get a Yankees jersey. but just to remember like a birthday or Christmas or a time you got a Yankees jersey and how exciting that was. Sign up for Patreon, people. But let's get into it, Jim. You want to read one first or how do you want to get there?
Well, I just gave one honorable mention. Do you have an honorable mention or do you just have your winner?
I want to see where the convo goes because, dude, there's a lot that I really like, Jim. Let me start off by giving some love to Patrick Bishop.
Yeah.
He had 2 killer ones. Right now I'm leaning this one.
As your winner.
Okay. So, no, I'm going to say these both to you. How about this? I need you to eliminate one of these for me.
Okay. Well, one of them might be mine.
Patrick Bishop's first one. It is high. It is deep, but I'm going to get rid of that. It is high. It is far. It is gone. DJ sends one to Broadway. LeMahieu says adieu to that ball. Like, I think those Sterling ones that double up on something get me. And you know what? I think I might have just eliminated this one because I love this one. This one's for Tulo. That ball is out of here. Tulo hits one to Pluto. My God, Susan, by the power of Achilles, Troy destroys that ball.
Okay, so that's your winner?
I think I think so.
Okay, all right. So that's I didn't even have that one down, so I'm glad you liked it. Once space came into play, I was out.
Right.
I was like, Pluto, get out of here. I had Patrick Bishop's written down. Shout out to Will, who I think is in the chat right now. He did one for Shed Long. That was good, but it can't win because Shed Long's on team.
Yeah, that was tough. That was a trap. I knew that was a trap from the start.
But Will said, it is high, it is far, it is gone. Shed uses one of his many tools to send that ball out of here. And it was a good play on the Shed and the tools.
There was a few good
And then
Shed
it was,
ones,
it is
man.
Long gone because Shed Long. All right.
Yeah.
Give me another shot of Whiskey, Tulowitzki with his third jack of the day. I thought that was clever.
Yep.
But I this mean, one that by Angel
has to hit three home runs.
Wait, for what? Which one?
Well, Tulowitzki has his third shot of Whiskey.
Give me another. No, he did hit three home runs in this example. It was his third of
okay,
the day.
That's what I was saying. That's where it got out of the realm for me. You talked about mine involving outer space. Right now, that idea is on outer space.
Okay. Angel said, it is high, it is far, it is gone. Three-run shot by Tulowitzki. Oh, Troy brings Yankee fans lots of joy. Can hear him saying that. It's not my favorite, but it resonated as something he might do.
I have one more I like that I want to get off my chest.
Okay, but you already did your winner.
Right, but this is a Josh Stowers one.
Okay.
And this one was, because there was a lot of power Stowers one, which I get it. And like Sterling's not too over the top that he'd ignore that, but he'd have to put a Sterling twist on it. And this one got me. What a shot by Oshkosh Bajosh. Stowers with the superpowers. That's good.
That sounds like the Brewers guy.
Yeah, a little bit. That was a little euchre.
Euchre, yeah. Okay. My favorite, the one that I'm.
I've got one of my own that I dreamed up. I don't know if you want.
No. We got to announce the second winner. So it's going to go to a Twitter poll on Talkin' Yanks Twitter. So far, Jake's, I think my favorite one, I like it, but I don't think it's going to beat yours in a poll.
Okay. We'll see.
But it's, but I really like Patrick Bishop's too. But the one that made me, that I really liked, because I just, if Sterling actually said this, it would become my favorite Sterling home run call.
I'm interested. I have one in the back of my head I think it might be, but let's see.
DJ invading the bleachers like it's D-Day. Sterling said that. If Sterling said that during a game, I'd be hands down my favorite call. I mean, he already did A-bomb. So he's not shying away from like horrific war bombings and stuff. So he did DJ invading the bleachers like it's D-Day.
And again, folks, something like that can get you so close to getting a Yankees jersey. I didn't think you were going there at all.
Dude, I read it to myself and I just went, DJ invading the bleachers like D-Day. So that's my winner. Now I think Brandon Kelly had the best second half. I like the LeMahieu says adieu, but it should have been bid you adieu. But the best second half is a how do you do from DJ LeMahieu.
Yeah, that's where I like the adieu, because that's a word that Sterling would like to work in.
Yeah, so if there's DJ invading the bleachers like D-Day, LeMahieu bids adieu to that ball, that would be my favorite combo everything. But I'm putting my evading the bleachers like D-Day up against your...
You're going D-Day. I like
up
it.
Up against your Pluto one. Listen, KJ from PA, who he calls into the show, he wrote the D-Day one. I'm rooting for you, but I don't think the masses are going to pull for you.
Yeah, and just the one I thought you might be going was Rudy. He went the, hey, Mr. DJ, play that song. A hit that heads to the top of the charts. Here's my number. Call me LeMahieu. Like, that's just... That's 86-year-old Sterling trying to tie it all in getting a little loosey-goosey.
Yeah. A-bomb from A-Rod's my favorite right now. So if he does another war one with D-Day, okay, I'm all in. DJ invading the bleachers like it's D-Day. Listen, I'm not going to apologize for how much that makes me laugh.
I don't think mine is good, but I think I can get a giggle out of you with it. Right,
but the final ones are...
This is
invading the beach like D-Day and Pluto. So what? Yeah. What's your? This is now yours. But you're now a Patreon subscriber, so you could have entered this, but you missed the chance.
This one came to me. What was I doing? Oh, I went to Home Depot today. What a Sunday, Jim. Came to me at Home Depot. He goes, "It is high, it is far, it is gone." DJ LeMay achoo sneezes that one goodbye.
Man, that was terrible. You almost ruined the entire segment with that.
That was terrible.
That I can
I told
see
you how, I get you to laugh though.
No, because now I'm laughing because I can see how that sounded good in your head, but once you verbalized it, like vocalized it, there's no good.
Know what it was the first time I said it? It was like, "God blesses that one goodbye," and then that felt like a whole jump, so I don't know.
Okay. All right. Well, so that's funny that my winner wasn't even on your honorable mentions, and your winner wasn't even on my honorable mentions.
Well, it's in the fans' hands for 24 hours or something.
Tomorrow. We'll do a poll tomorrow.
Tomorrow.
Okay, let's move on to our lineups, which are so confusing. So I put out a poll, and it's pretty cool. We're at 495 responses.
Yeah.
So a lot of Yankee fans have entered their answers into this poll. And we have, you know, I just did it. It's pretty simple. Who's your leadoff hitter? Who's your two-hole, three-hole, cleanup, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, right? And right. Then I had who's defensively starting at every position.
Right.
Do you just want to go down the line? I want to do the defensive things first. The defensive
things make more sense.
Okay. So some of them are simple. Starting at first base, 87% of people have Luke Voit.
Yeah.
Did you vote?
I did.
Who did you put for first base?
Luke Voit, he played at an MVP level for us. You got to give him a chance.
I agree. Bird had the second most with 9.2%, only 45 votes. DJ LeMahieu had 14 votes, and Miguel Andujar had 3. So Luke Voit had 431 votes. So pretty much a consensus.
This is when things get fun.
Second base, as of now, there's 500. So we just got 3 more responses as I said this. Second base is right now 50% Gleyber Torres as a starting second baseman and 49% DJ LeMahieu. 247 votes for DJ, 250 for Gleyber. 247, 250. The fan base is completely split. And then Tyler Wade got like, I don't know, not enough jokes to take him seriously. Probably like someone just fucking around.
Yeah, I think he got one vote.
Who did you vote for, Jake? Starting second baseman.
So, Jimmy, this is funny. I've been talking about this for a couple podcasts now that we can kind of talk lineup stuff, and I got excited about it. But I haven't fully thought things through. And I got to second base, and I was like, well, shoot. How do I want to do this?
Wait, and are you voting for what you would do or what you think it's going to be?
What I would do, I guess, or what I want.
Okay.
And I said DJ LeMahieu at second base.
So did I, and now there's 2 people in the Twitter feed, shout out like Yankees Nut and someone else they're being more hostile than they need to be, but they're going back on the debate. Like, no, Tulu is going to be the shortstop, which makes Gleyber the second baseman. And the other person saying, no. There's no way you can count on Tulo to be the shortstop. You just can't do it.
Right.
DJ's going to play, which would mean Gleyber to short. Oh, but then you got Gleyber and Andujar on this left side, and they're both poor defensively. Last year, they were both poor defensively. That's a bad left side of the infield. And they're going on, and I'm tagged in this thread. And I agree with both sides. I agree with what everyone's saying.
That's the crazy part. Everyone's right. And I think that's where my vote got swayed, is that this is opening day, right?
Wow,
this
update. 507, and it's now a dead split. 50-50.
It's nuts. Jim, for opening day, you can roll out Andujar and Gleyber at shortstop, third base. If it was a playoff game tomorrow, I might say something different. But for opening day, I'm fine with that. You put the Gold Glover at second. You lock that down. You see how Glaber's developed. You see if Andujar's developed. and then from there you can go Tulo World or whatever you want to go with it. I guess that was my thinking.
I put DJ at second as well, but now that's what I would do if I was in charge.
Well, I guess, and here's the issue, and we're going to circle the horn in a second, but if you did put Glaber here, which you and I would be fine with.
Totally fine. I'm not upset either way.
That means you're either benching, you're either having DJ LeMahieu play short, which we've never really seen him fully do on a major league field, or you're benching LeMahieu or Andujar.
Or benching, you can not bench them and still have it be there. You can have one of them DH and bench Gardner.
Yeah, I guess you can do that, but then you have a full righty lineup.
Yeah, it's crazy, man. It's very confusing. So I went Glaber at shortstop. Now, 41%, 209 people put Troy Tulowitzki at shortstop. Now I don't know if they're doing what they would do, or of what they think the Yankees are going to do. I think the Yankees hope they can try this out. But right. If it's me, I think that's asinine. You can't count on Troy Tulowitzki. Right now, he's not in my brain as an option at all. So Tulowitzki's not in my starting lineup at all. So I have Glaber at short and DJ at second. But like I said, I don't know. DJ got 9% of the vote for shortstop, which I don't think that's going to happen.
Which I think it's interesting. It ran through my head, and they went through all the quotes of, you know, DJ, make sure you bring all your gloves to spring training. So I think he's going to get looked at there a little bit, and that's where I think it's really funny. Where DJ LeMahieu used to be this kind of slappy infielder that didn't have any pop, to now he's the guy that got the nice contract in Troy. When Troy Tulowitzki was an all-star with the Rockies, and nowadays it's almost role reversal. So I guess maybe that'll be my bingo card, role reversal with LeMahieu and Tulo. But Jimmy, I think the other thing that just came into my head is it's almost mental, right? We're talking about these young talented guys, whether it's Andujar, Gleyber Torres, LeMahieu we just paid. So for me, if you bench one of those guys opening day, that's kind of a tough look, man. Like, if you come into this 2019 season and you have Andujar benched or LeMahieu benched, I mean, maybe LeMahieu's fine with it because he's been told he's going to be this Swiss knife, but anyone outside of Tulo, it's a little devastating, right?
Yeah, I think so. I think that's like, if DJ signs this deal and then he's not in the starting lineup, like what do you mean?
Right, but I think if I'm DJ LeMahieu, I'm like, hey, as long as you're paying me wherever you guys need me, but this is a little odd.
But let me play.
It seems like he's going to play. Troy Tulowitzki, minimum contract. DJ LeMahieu, $12 million.
Yeah.
Read a book.
Starting at third base, it's now up to 512 people. It's fun to watch this go.
Yeah,
87.5% have Miguel Andujar as a starting third baseman, which makes sense. Let's see, like a handful of people voted for Glaber. 8 people have Glaber at third.
Which there was talks of that preseason last year. You wonder if that even comes up. I mean, I doubt it, but we'll see.
I mean, yeah, and Glaber in the minors was a shortstop for a lot of years. So, I mean, he might be better at shortstop than he is. He should be better at shortstop than he is at second base.
Man, it's a crazy discussion. I'm like excited about it. We're finally talking Yankees baseball.
DJ LeMahieu got 55 votes to be the third baseman, but Andujar gets 444. I think that's what's going to happen. I think Andujar is going to be the third baseman out of the gates of spring training if healthy. Yeah. And you see what you got.
See if he got better.
Now, left field is fun.
Yeah.
Left field, we have Gardner with 237 votes, Stanton with 104, and Clint Frazier with 156 votes. I have an honest question for you. Everyone knows that we kind of give Clint a hard time for his personality and all that. On the field stuff, I love Clint. He like is really talented. And he looked really good last year when he was on the field. But I have a question for you, Jake. Barring any injury, is there a chance Clint Frazier makes the opening day roster? Because I don't think there's a chance if Gardner, Hicks, Stanton, Judge, Ellsbury are all healthy. It doesn't matter if Clint Frazier hits 800 in spring. I don't think he can make the roster, which sucks.
I disagree there, and I mean here's.
But
here's
okay,
the
so
other...
walk me through the like the actual how it happens.
So A, I just want to put the caveat on that. I mean, you're saying Ellsbury healthy, which is, you know, that's a big caveat. But I'm gonna play the game.
So sure, if everyone's healthy, how does he who's off?
Well, there's still a chance. Again, Ellsbury wasn't around the team at all last year. You made the joke and you got Michael K. good, but he did the good laugh away from the mic.
Curry.
You got Curry. Does Boone even know Jacoby Ellsbury? Because that's how missing this guy was last year. And, I mean, there's still a chance that the Yankees are just going to wait till opening day to see if they can dump Ellsbury on someone. And then if it doesn't happen, they just cut him and they say, it's been real, it's been fun, but it hasn't been real fun. Let's move on.
Okay, so your way of Clint making the team is if they get rid of Ellsbury. Now, Ellsbury could also start in the minors because he could need rehab and more time. That's another way.
Yeah, you could go the rehab. So that's why I wanted to mention the caveat because saying if everybody stays healthy normally isn't a statement that has Jacoby Ellsbury in it. I mean, just brutal. We will see.
But just to clarify,
if he does play healthy in spring training and Clint Frazier looks like a stud, I think they have a, here's some irony, a red flag where they say, all right, let's punt on Ellsbury and we bring Clint in. Because you and I haven't talked too much bench, but I mean, there's a spot available for, if you factor out Ellsbury, there's a spot available for Clint Frazier, right?
Yeah, but you have to factor out Ellsbury because if Ellsbury is healthy and
right,
playing.
Right, but you keep saying Ellsbury is healthy casually.
Well, I mean, that's right now Ellsbury is healthy. He's going to show up to spring training healthy.
Right, and he did the same last year. We didn't see him all year.
But that's the game if he's healthy.
I know, but normally that game is played with healthy people. Ellsbury's not that guy.
Well, right now he's healthy.
But if he is, I think if Clint raked and looks like an absolute pro, I could see them just ending this whole Ellsbury thing, however they have to do it, and putting Clint on the team.
And then would he be the starting left fielder and Gardner on the bench?
If it was a left-handed starting pitcher, I have no problem with that.
I don't either. I just don't see them dumping Ellsbury right away.
Yeah, I mean,
I hope they would. I'd be much happier with Clint on the team and Ellsbury off the team come opening day.
Again, you are right, and this is a business to a degree that you don't see the front office loving that decision, especially if Ellsbury were healthy for opening day. You'd assume they might as well throw him on the team just to see if he's got anything left, and Clint has options in the minors. So I absolutely get that side of it, but... I mean, Clint Frazier's a guy that can be an impact bat in this league. If he looks right, that's going to be really tough to do.
Yeah. It's either dump Ellsbury or Ellsbury's hurt.
But I think, you know, you and I do give Clint guff for the way he handles his social media, and I reached out and told him I'm willing to help him on social media. Still haven't heard fully back on that yet. But I think the most important thing is, like, if you saw Clint Frazier in our opening day lineup, you wouldn't be disappointed, right?
No, not at all. I'm trying to do the math on the bench spot.
Yeah.
Which is tough. So anyway, well, 31% of the people have him as the starting left fielder. 20% have Stanton and 46% have Brett. I think Brett's still the safe bet. The offense is good. They love his defense at home. I think he's going to play a lot. I think Brett's going to, which is weird because I don't want Brett to be the everyday left fielder, but I think he's going to get
those,
a lot of starts.
You know where a lot of Brett's votes are coming from, Jim?
The whole
we need a lefty crew from Twitter last year.
Yeah.
And it's like half true because think of it this way. If Brett Gardner can still play that defense and he can have a bounce back season, like, yeah, dude, give me that guy all day. So again, it's like a why not see?
Why not see? Center field, Judge, 504 out of 520 votes.
You just said center field.
Oh. Ew. Ew. Center field, Aaron Hicks. I think this might have confused some people that took the poll. Two Aarons. Hicks got 505 out of 525 votes for center field, 97.3%. I mean, there's no reason to even do it. I think some people were just having fun.
Yeah.
Because I don't believe anyone else. I think they were just trying to be jerks and mess up the ball. Right field, same exact thing. Judge, 98%. Catcher, 99%. So those are the three positions that are for sure locked up. Catcher, right field, center field.
Isn't it nuts that there's almost more Gary fans because he had such a bad year? Like, do you believe that?
No, I just think everyone that was saying, start Romine instead, is A, not enough of a fan to indulge themselves and engage in, like, a survey like this. They watch, like, you know, 20 games and just yell. And B, they don't actually believe that. They just say it because it's something to say. I think everyone knows Gary's starting.
Yeah, and maybe Romine fading off last year, too, because when he was playing good, man, there was noise.
Yeah, not from... Nah, there was never noise that Romine should be a starter.
Okay.
Starting DH, Giancarlo Stan got, 78% of the votes, which I think he's going to be there a lot. Who got the next highest? Andujar. A lot of people thinking that you put Stanton in left and you can move Andujar to DH. You can do that.
13 LeMahieu votes, which I think is low-key hilarious. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, Jim, back to the Clint Frazier thing a little bit. What if you have, Voit, Glaber, Tulo, Andujar, and LeMahieu. So you have five infielders, and one is supposed to be your utility knife.
Mm-hmm.
I guess it still doesn't work, right? Because there's only three bench spots.
Yeah, there's only three bench spots.
It's going to be Romine or Ellsbury or whoever the outfielder is. Yeah, I don't know.
The bench spots it's Romine, and then it's either Tulo / DJ, however way that plays out,
right,
which is weird. So that's
or Andujar, kind of.
Yeah, it's infield or those two spots. Andujar's not going to be on the bench. I think he's going to start every day. So Andujar can't not start every day. And then the outfield is going to be Clint or Ellsbury.
Yeah.
Guardy, however it plays out. All right, let's do lineup now. This is the most confusing thing in the world. What was the lineup? The charts for the lineup look like the most beautiful colors ever.
Yeah, right? These charts are beautiful. You need to share these with the people.
Good.
Get some of these on Instagram and Twitter tomorrow.
Justice in the chat just said something interesting, that unless we carry seven bullpen arms to start the season, that would change opening day. I actually think they will do that, especially with CeCe Sabathia suspended to start the season. We'll probably have four guys on the bench for the first couple weeks, but that will not stay for the whole season. The Yankees like running three bench players and eight bullpen arms. We've seen that 2 years in a row now.
Could see that.
All right, leadoff. 60% went to Aaron Hicks, which is who I had leading off as well, although I am not sold on any lineup. Like, as I was picking my lineup, I was like, I can go so many different ways here. I have one spot locked up. Out of the nine, I have one spot that I am 100% on. And that's Judge in the two-hole.
I think I have two. Judge in the two-hole. Well, let's keep this in order. I had a different... So you picked Hicks for leadoff?
I actually did this twice because I was testing it out on the computer and testing it out on my phone. Okay. And I picked Hicks the first time, and I picked Guardy the second because I was thinking they might actually do Guardy. Like I can see them doing Guardy. I don't think it's far off. I wouldn't do it. I was trying to guess what they would do the second time, and I can see them doing that, but I don't think they should.
Well, what are you picking?
Oh, if you're gonna try and lock down picks out of me right now,
oh,
I'm telling
you. You can't have people fill out one ballot and then you get to fill out two.
Well, I filled out one, but I don't care enough. I'm not confident in any of this. I'd choose Hicks. I'll choose Hicks, but this is more a discussion than like us picking our picks. I chose Hicks in the first time I did it. I'd be happy to see LeMahieu there. I'd be happy to see Glaber there. I'd be happy to see Hicks there.
Yeah, I want Glaber, man. I just think where the leadoff position is going, I think he's a really good fit for that. He's, you know, if he takes a step forward next year, I mean, he's going to be an incredible ball player. And I just think some of the lineup balance stuff we've talked about, I know they don't fully care about lineup balance, but at the same time, you got to care about it a little bit. And I really like Glaber in that one hole, but I think that's important for the other results that are coming up.
Yeah.
Two-hole judge.
All the lefties. Two-hole judge. Someone was DMing me saying they wanted Judge in the four-hole. I was like, that's not going to happen. Got to guarantee him an at-bat. He's also got the best on-base percentage. It's two.
No one got over 5%
for the two-hole
spot outside of Judge. Yeah.
Now, the third is interesting. Really interesting because you want Didi there to bring another lefty in.
Right.
Or to split up Judge and Giancarlo. I know that you are big, like you need to split those two up. It's really hard to split those two up with this lineup without any lefties. It's really hard.
They like Hicks, man. They really do.
Yeah, but I think he's going to be leadoff.
Right. That's why I put Hicksy third, because I also think, again, that kind of lineup balance and you split up Judge and Stanton. So that's kind of my logic there.
Yeah. I think they might even do Judge and Stanton right in a row.
I don't know, man. It was totally eye test from me, but it felt like an eye test that everyone saw, especially even the Yankees, because they stopped doing it. Like you batting those two back to back was just made it so much easier for the pitcher and made it so much harder for Giancarlo.
Yeah, that's true. It's true. Did they stop doing it? I think they did.
Yeah, I mean, dude, it was a lot of Hicksy or Didi.
Yeah. Yeah, Stan was behind Judge for the first 2 weeks. Then it became Didi, Stanton a couple times, Bird for a week. A lot of Didi. Stanton did go a couple times and then Hicks a little bit, but it was mostly Hicks. Yeah, towards the end of the year. Well, Stanton became the two-hole hitter while Judge was out.
Right.
And then they had, at the end, they had Didi, Hicks, Kutch, Voit. So, yeah, towards the end when they were in that stretch, they split them up for good.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think they're going to be split up.
Pure eye test, but I think a lot of people on the internet, if I saw it, I assume a lot of people in the Yankees organization saw it. And this, you know, this isn't me having a beer being like, split those guys up. I think that's a pretty popular opinion.
So some people have Hicks in the three hole, which is the way you did it with Glaber leading off. Giancarlo won the three hole, but some people have Gary in their three hole, splitting them up. If you were to have Hicks lead off, what righty would you use to split up Hicks? Or split up Judge and Stanton.
Man.
Would you do LeMahieu just to like change the type of hitter?
No, just because then it's like, what are we really doing here? We have all these guys and we're putting DJ LeMahieu in our three hole. I mean, if he earns it, awesome. But I just don't know. I mean, if... You're just three guys in a row. You're just begging for wipeout sliders, whether it's Gary or Glaber, if you want to do it at that point. So I don't know, man. I'm kind of out on that.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think that Hicks might be leadoff, so then you have to find a guy. So then it would be Glaber or LeMahieu because they're different, or Andujar because he's a different approach.
A little bit, yeah.
Andujar's not a strikeout guy, so you can put him in the middle.
Yeah, 42% G-Unit, 13% Judge, 19% Hicksy, 9% Andujar.
Yeah. In the fourth, Stanton won out big. He had 53%. I think Stanton's going to be the cleanup hitter. And if I was to bank on anything, it's Judge is the two-hole. I'm like 100% on that. Stanton's the four-hole. I'm probably like 80% on that.
Those are my two 100s.
Okay, yeah. I could see them moving Stanton to try it again. Just maybe like it's different this time, and they can do those back-to-back. Get them both. If they're both going hot, then slide them there and you know, run it out and get them all at bats in the first inning. I can see them doing it, but yeah.
How about Gary with 25% to bat cleanup?
Well, that's a lot of people that had Stanton third.
A lot of people trying to convince themselves Gary's back, too, but.
Yeah. And then fifth, we have Andujar got a lot of votes, 32, but Gary got the most with 41% of the vote. And then who's this with 9.5? Luke Voit comes in third, the five hole. I had
How
Gary.
That?
No, no,
I
no.
I had Gary.
Yeah, I had Gary.
I had Gary here.
Yeah. I mean, the end, it gets hard. The end is where did, so let's see. Sixth hole, we have Andujar, Gary, Luke Voit, Glaber. I had Andujar in the sixth hole after Gary.
Yeah, right? You kind of have to give Andujar the nod over Luke Voit, right?
Yeah, yeah. And then I put, for my first one, when I had Hicks leadoff, I put Gardner seventh.
Really?
Yep, just so it's not, just to split it up a little bit.
So I went Voit seventh.
And then I went Voit seventh. No, I went Voit seventh, Glaber nine.
Or Voit eighth, you mean?
Yeah, Voit eighth, Glaber nine.
Yeah.
But like, I'm not locked in. If someone wanted to argue me, I wouldn't even argue my own side. Like, because I don't care. I don't know. Right. I just think it not only change it from lefty to righty, but if you put LeMahieu, or I don't know where I had LeMahieu. If you put LeMahieu, Andujar, and Gardner offer different approaches, whereas Voit, Gary, Judge, Stanton, and maybe even Glaber, those are five wipeout slider guys. So try and divvy them up a little bit.
Yeah, I think, and again, these charts get real fun at the end. 30% Voit for the seventh hole, 20% Glaber, 14 LeMahieu, and then you go down to the eighth spot, 24% Tulo, 25 LeMahieu, 17 Voit. It's a juggling act. I look, Brett Gardner wins the nine hole with 30%, Glaber second with 24%. I ended up going, I went Voit seven, I went Gardy eight, and I went LeMahieu nine as the double leadoff.
Yeah, you can do that. You can do that. It's weird to have Glaber down. I like LeMahieu down, but I was just trying to divvy up approaches and like, what is this guy trying to do in the box? Cause yeah, that changes what the pitcher's trying to do.
And I think it'll be interesting cause man, didn't the lineup feel its best last year when young Glaber was still doing the little things from the nine hole?
Oh yeah. Yes.
And that's, there's got to be analytics that back that up, and I wouldn't be surprised if we see a lot of LeMahieu, Glaber, hopefully Gardy if he's playing well, in the nine hole. Just as the old double leadoff effect.
It's very easy to find the analytics about Glaber's splits in this batting order. I'll find it right now. Right. His highest batting average came when he batted sixth in 21 games. He hit .342 and .898 OPS, but he had an .888 OPS out of the nine hole with 30 more games, 51 games. He bat .283, .384 in the nine hole. He had 13 home runs and 35 RBIs in the nine hole And his next highest is 7 home runs in the 5 hole. He did batting 4th at only 6 games, not great. And batting 8th, 23 or 5 games, not great. Yeah, so it was 5, 6, and 9th were his most. So he did have the most games and the small sample sizes all around. And
yeah.
He just happened to be there when he was hot. Who knows? But I liked him in the 9 hole. Everyone was screaming and yelling, like, get him out of the 9 hole. Like, you know what I mean? But he was doing good there. I liked him there.
Right. I don't think the Yankees mismanaged that too much, because there was a point when it was like, yo, you might have to sneak this kid up because he's raking. But, yeah, again, I don't know. I don't think – well, I guess I'm somewhat in the minority, but I think if you gave this kid a chance to lead off, I think you'd end up liking what you saw from him. And you get slightly better balance from the lineup, but we'll see. It's the amount of combinations you can come up with is wild.
Yeah, I know. Like I said, 2 and 4 are the only spots where I think I know what's going to happen.
Right. And like, what if they do have a totally new approach? What if like DJ LeMahieu could be the leadoff guy? Guy won a batting title.
Yeah, could.
But
some
what,
people,
what
some
position is he playing? Is he starting?
Yeah, it's nuts. It's nuts. It's interesting. And we could always sign that big guy that everyone thinks we're going to sign, or you know, and that changes everything up entirely.
You think they're still going to trade back for Torres from Minnesota?
Yeah, no. Okay. But I do think the Yankees are pretty deep right now. I know that we compare ourselves to the Red Sox and everyone's down because they lost in that Red Sox series, but you compare it to all the other teams that are trying to win and think of the options and the hitters and stuff. Offensively, very deep. Defensively, there's some weird stuff going on, but
I think, well, we'll see, man. But doesn't it just the lineup's going to be really good. I think there's still going to be times when we struggle against that wipeout slider, which everyone does in baseball. But this team feels like they're going to have freaky stats against left-handed pitching.
That would be cool. Bring it, Blake Snell.
Like I think, well, except that guy. Love that guy.
All right. I mean, that brings us almost to an hour here, and I think that was a lot of conversations. So I hope it wasn't that hard to keep up with all, like, the batting orders.
Yeah, a lot of percentages and numbers towards the end was probably a little wild, but we'll get some of that info out to the people. Get some more discussion going on.
Yeah, they can see it. If you take the poll, just after you're done taking it, you can look at what everyone else said. It's up to 550 responses now.
So I've got an interesting question for you.
Oh, I had the one. Is it on the poll related?
No.
Okay, I have one more poll related thing. I spammed it to all of the Facebook groups, which never ever go on the Facebook groups, like ever.
Right.
And unironically, here's an answer. Unironically, Jake.
Right.
Bird leadoff, DJ Torres second, Glaber third, Andujar fourth, Gary fifth, Clint sixth, Hicks 7, Judge 8, DH Stanton. No.
That's not ironic.
No. Never mind. Bird at first, DJ at second, Torres at short, Andujar at third, Gary catching. This guy's confusing me.
Oh boy, Jim.
I'm out. Don't go on Facebook.
That's why you don't go there. Anyways, back to the regular program. Do you think...
Often.
What can spring training decide? Like, do you think if DJ LeMahieu bats 400 and Glaber bats 200, do you think the Yankees are opening to swapping wherever they think they have those guys in the lineup currently? Or do you think, because think about this, we think of the Yankees as this organized organization. I've talked about Cash's whiteboards. Like, in their heads, they clearly already have a lineup, right?
No, I don't think so.
You don't think so? Okay, interesting.
Yeah, I don't think so. I think,
but doesn't that seem the opposite of everything Cashman and the Yankees are doing.
I think like last year they said they write things down and everything, but it, you got to see how it's going to play out. So I don't think so.
All right. I like it.
And there's little pieces. Want to hear the opening day lineup last year?
Let's get it, Tyler Austin.
Gardner in left field. Judge batting second in right field. Stanton, DH, third. Gary catching fourth. Hicks, center field, fifth. Didi, shortstop, sixth. Brandon Drury in the seventh hole playing third base. Neil Walker in the eighth hole playing second. And Tyler Austin playing first base in the ninth hole.
Bing.
Wade played second in game two and three. Then Drury went blind.
Wade in the waters.
Yep. All right. That ends this show. Thanks for taking the poll if you took it. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for being a Patreon subscriber if you are one. That about ends our 200th show. Jake, your impression of a snake to end it? Boom.
Episode 200. Hope we get that many wins this year.
Oh, go Yanks, Tom Gramps.
Go Yankees.
Ball and Play 2, presented by DraftKings, is underway. Head over to our Warehouse Games channel to see all the action from Ball and Play. Get some skin in the game and download the DraftKings app right now. Don't forget to use our promo code Warehouse. That's promo code Warehouse only at DraftKings Sportsbook. The crown is yours.